We're privileged to have Daryl Dick with us this morning. If you may not be familiar with him, he's been the pastor at Gospel Fellowship, the EMMC Church in East Steinbach for a number of years. And he has been involved in deliverance ministry the last, how long would it be?
A year and a half,
okay. And his wife Karina and I know each other because she worked at SBC while I was there. So we're glad to have you come share with us, Daryl. Let me pray for you.
Yes, please.
Lord, thank you for Daryl's obedience to you and for his desire to serve you in what you place in front of him. And this morning, we want to hear what you've laid on his heart. And together, we want to be listening to your spirit. Speak to us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. It's really good to be here. Unfortunately, my wife Karina could not come. We actually had a retreat at Longbow Lake Bible Camp this weekend, so that's where I drove from this morning. And so I got to start out in the beautiful wilderness and then had a long, boring drive on the Trans-Canada when I got to Manitoba. But I listened to a few good podcasts, so it was good. It's good to be here. I've gotten to know quite a few of you. I don't know all of you. And a couple of years back when I had a sabbatical, we attended here one time, and I did attend here occasionally when I was in Bible college. That's over 40 years ago. So the congregation, of course, has changed dramatically. By then, some of you would have been here, but most of you wouldn't have. I consider it a privilege to be able to be here with you this morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you so much that you are present, that your spirit is present, and that we are in your Father's presence, our Father's presence. I pray now that as I speak, that the words of Scripture will come alive. They are already alive. They were penned by you. And I pray that they will impact us this morning. Not just for a few minutes, but for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Nothing. So what is nothing? How do you define nothing? After all, there's nothing to define. Nothing is a complete absence of something. If your wallet is empty, then you have nothing, right? If your cupboards are empty, you've got nothing. If your car is rolling down the highway and you've run out of gas, you've got nothing in the tank. That's where you are. So why would I talk about nothing? I mean, you could stay home and experience nothing there. Believe it or not, Jesus also talked about nothing. I want you to listen to his words. In John 15:5, he said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." I want you to hold out your hands and look at them. What's in them? Nothing. That's what you can do apart from Jesus. It's that stark. Now, I don't know about you, but I've often thought, well, yeah, I can do all kinds of things. But will they last? That's the big thing. Will they last for eternity? Because apart from Jesus, anything I do will not last. What Jesus is saying is actually pretty straightforward. If you cut a branch off the main trunk of a grapevine, it shrivels up and dies pretty quickly. We have a grapevine on the south side of our house. We've had it for quite a while. And every year in fall or before spring, I prune it. And when I'm done pruning it, it looks terrible. It's one trunk, six branches, and that's it. And I've chopped absolutely everything off. And then the weather warms up and it starts budding, and what looks like an absolutely dry stick is just poof like this, okay? But come summer, there's a bunch of grapes on there already, they're already turning purple. Come summer, later in summer, then I go there and I give it a haircut because the sun doesn't get at any of the grapes right, you know, because everything is just growing out like crazy. And so not that long, a couple weeks ago, I cut them all off the front, not the rest. And I piled those vines up in the backyard, and guess where they're at now? Like, they're all dried up. There's no life there at all. That's us without Jesus. Because Jesus is life. God is life. Without him, we have nothing. And we can't produce any kind of fruit. Now, Jesus says if we remain connected to him, we're going to bear lots of fruit. And if we don't, we'll produce nothing. So Jesus wants us to bear fruit. Now, what does he mean by fruit? A lot of us immediately think of the fruit of the Spirit, talked about in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, etc. I don't think he's talking about that. And the reason I don't think so is because of the context. This teaching of his about the vine and branches is all part of what he talked about in the Last Supper. And if you go a little bit earlier in the story of his teaching, he says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. So he's talking about works that he's been doing, and then later he says, if you remain in me and I in you, you're going to do a lot of work. I think this is what he's talking about. So what did Jesus do while he was here on earth? I got a list. It's quite lengthy. He fed people when they were hungry. He delivered them from demonic oppression. He cared for their health concerns. He healed them. He raised people from the dead. He taught about the kingdom of God. He taught people how to live. He forgave them and made sure that they knew they had been forgiven by God. He loved people. We, of course, know that sinners and outcasts flocked to him because of his love. He calmed storms. He walked on water. He did all kinds of signs and wonders to show the power of God over the kingdom of darkness. They weren't just nature miracles, by the way. It was always a spiritual battle. He discipled his followers. He didn't just teach and move on. He taught them in real life situations for 3 years. They walked with him, talked with him. He answered people's questions. He helped them with their doubts. He prayed for people. He comforted his disciples when they were distraught. He confronted the religious leaders when they're all bound up with legalism. By the way, did you ever notice he doesn't confront other people? He just confronts the religious leaders. There's only ones. Interesting point when you think about it. It's the legalism drove him nuts. God is not a legalist. Satan is. God is not. He evangelized. He was accepting of the outcasts such as lepers and Samaritans. He lived a life of self-sacrifice and called his followers to live lives of self-sacrifice. He modeled what it looked like to follow the Spirit in the Father's direction. All these are things and lots more that Jesus did. And that's what we're called to do if we believe in his name. Not necessarily all of them that I'm going to do, but collectively we are all doing them. Doing these things is the calling that we as individuals have and the calling that all of us collectively as churches and conferences in the worldwide Church of God, that's what we do. That's our calling. This is the mission of God. So you've been going through this series, Go. It's all about mission. This is the mission. Do what Jesus did. That's it. We're Jesus. We're the body of Christ. Sounds weird to say that we're Jesus. But we're the body of Christ. That doesn't feel quite as weird. Same thing, right? We collectively are Jesus in this world. We're doing the things Jesus did. That's what missions is. And we bring this message of the good news of Jesus by doing the things he did. Now, how do we do that? How do we carry out such a massive calling? I don't know about you, but when I look at a list like this and what Jesus did, I think there's no possible way I can do all of that, or even some of it. I'm not Jesus, I think of myself. I'm a very weak human being, and I've often had a very low opinion of myself. I was wrong, but I've often had a very low opinion of myself, and I said, I can't do what God is calling me to do. But I think I've also had a theological problem in terms of my belief system. For most of my life, I've believed that Jesus was able to do all the miracles, signs, wonders, and all the other stuff he did because he was God. Now, it's true he is God, was God when he was here on earth, but I'm starting to question that thinking, and I hope I'm not going to get my knuckles wrapped here by Ernie or some other people. But think about it. Moses did signs and wonders that he wasn't God, right? No one ever thought, oh, Moses is God. Well, maybe some did, but Elijah and Elisha did miracles and signs and wonders. They weren't God. Peter and John healed people. Paul healed people. He cast out demons. They spoke in tongues. They prophesied. None of those people were God, but they did all those things. All of those people, however, were filled with the Spirit of God and empowered to do those things. But we go, yeah, but Jesus was God. That's why he was able to do those things. Well, when did Jesus' ministry start? After his baptism and testing in the wilderness. Before that, you don't read about him doing anything like this. Yeah, he went to the temple when he was 12, and they couldn't believe his wisdom and understanding, but he didn't do any of the rest. And what happened at his baptism? Luke chapter 3, 21 to 22. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, this is hard to get your head around, but before that time, he wasn't filled with the Spirit of God, it seems. You see, he was fully human, and we always believe it, but then we revert to, yeah, but he was God. But he was fully human while he was here. The early church hymn in Philippians 2 says of Jesus, "But made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness." Another translation talks about it as if he's emptied himself, giving up his divine privileges. So he's emptied himself. He doesn't have those abilities as a human. He was like you and me. He also needed to be filled with the Spirit to do the work of God. And then after he resisted the devil with the word of God doing his 40 days in the desert, we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, "Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside." There's a before and after that's stark in Scripture. It's stark in the Gospels. Before his baptism, Jesus kind of just fit in. Yeah, mostly. I'll speak a bit to that, yeah. But after his baptism, he is a different man. He's a completely different man. And everyone knew it, and the news spread everywhere. This guy is different. He's filled with the power of the Spirit. He's teaching with authority. He's doing signs and wonders. He's healing people. He's casting out demons. And by the way, they weren't surprised that he was casting out demons because Jewish exorcists were around in that time period too. What caught them off guard was the authority he had. It blew them away. He hadn't done any of these things before. Now, once he was filled with the Spirit of God, he began to do the mission that God called him to do. It was a short one. It was 3 years. That was it. And he was radically different than anyone else because of the Spirit of God. And it's a similar story with the apostles. So, yes, before, when they were still disciples, they did missions trips, and God gave them power to cast out demons and heal the sick. Definitely had that. But then after Jesus died and rose again, they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and finally the Spirit comes. And when it comes, they are transformed. Those apostles were never the same again. Never the same again. It was like a spark, you know, on a bunch of powder dry straw, and just boom, the fire was there. And they're doing stuff they've never done before. So there's no question that Jesus was filled with the Spirit. It's very evident. But I also want to speak about another thing that Jesus himself said about the importance of his connection to his Father. John chapter 5, 19 to 21. Jesus gave them this answer. It's about his authority. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whoever he is pleased to give it. So Jesus is absolutely clear here. The Son can do nothing by himself. Apart from the Father, apart from his connection to the Father, and of course we know he's filled with the Spirit, apart from that connection, he can't do anything. He says nothing again. Can't do anything by himself. He's saying he's powerless. All that he did on earth, his teaching, his healing, his casting out demons, everything was done through his union with the Father. Now, how did that come? We're not told. I think, again, the Spirit coming is part of that. I think it's part of that. But numerous times in the Gospels, we read of Jesus going off by himself to spend time with his Father. He spent an entire day ministering from morning till night. There's one story, I forget which Gospel. And then in the evening, he sends his disciples on the boat across the lake, and he goes up on the mountainside by himself because he's depleted and he needs to be recharged. He's got to spend time with Dad. Without Dad, I can't do it. I'm wearing out. I'm a human. I can't do this without Dad. And there's no possible way that we ourselves can do the mission of Jesus Christ without connection to Jesus. Back to what he told us to do. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit who will guide us and empower us, it's really, really, really hard to do the mission of God. If we're not watching for what the Father is doing, in tune with the Father, in tune with the Spirit, in tune with Jesus, we can't do what God wants us to do, and we can't do it in power. Now I'm going to mess you up in the back in terms of slides. I'm adding a scripture passage. I'm going to bring you back to Moses, Exodus chapter 33. So we got all the whole story of Moses. Remember Moses at the very beginning? When God calls him at the burning bush, what does Moses say when God says, "I want you to lead my people out of Egypt"? What's his words? Who am I? Who am I? I got nothing. I've been a total failure. I tried. It was disaster. I had to run away. I've been herding sheep for 40 years. Who am I? And then, I can't speak. I can't talk. Send someone else. That's Moses. I mean, he finally does, and he leads the people out of Egypt, and God's wonders are there. But now he's been up on the mountain with God with 40 days and the whole calf incident there with the golden calf. And then we read in verse 12 of 33. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." What a verse. My presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. And then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? That's true. Like, what's to distinguish this church from any other people group? Apart from the presence of God. There's nothing. Other than that, we're just an odd assortment of people. And odd is pretty accurate, right? At least me. We're just an assortment of ordinary people. But if the presence of God is here, everything changes. Everything changes. Because we can't do anything apart from him. Nothing. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. There was, however, a significant difference. Oh, I'm going to say one more thing before I get to my next point. This is a quote from Dr. Rob Reamer, whose writings have impacted me quite a bit. And he says this in relation to the story of Moses. The one irrepressible need we have is the presence of God. The one irrepressible need we have is the presence of God. Without the presence of God, we're toast. And we're powerless. So there was a significant difference between us and Jesus. Jesus was a sinless human. He was human. He needed the Holy Spirit, but he was sinless. You and I are not. We are broken in every way and have been since the day we were born. And if you doubt it, go find a three-year-old and watch. My daughter's struggling with her three-year-old because he constantly lies. No one had to teach him to do that. It just came naturally. It's in his nature. In that sense, Jesus, before his baptism, was odd. He would have stood out from the crowd in that sense because he didn't lie. He always told the truth. He didn't disobey his parents. Well, he did stay in Jerusalem once. Not sure what to make of that one. But he would have stood out in the crowd. The only possible way you and I can do the ministry of Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit is if we are cleansed and remade from inside out. When Jesus told his disciples to remain in the vine, he also said, you're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So they were dirty, but he spent 3 years with them, and their being in his presence for 3 years cleansed them. This cleansing for us comes through repentance, through the work of the cross, through the cleansing action of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And throughout his ministry, Jesus spoke to the disciples in the crowds, and when they accepted his words and teaching and followed him, they were cleansed. They were forgiven. They were now in tune with Jesus, with God. And there's another aspect of our brokenness from sin that Jesus also addressed. Throughout his ministry, Jesus cast evil spirits out of people. In Mark, the first recorded ministry action of Jesus is a deliverance in a synagogue. People of God in a synagogue, and this demon kind of attacks him, and he casts it out. Jesus had come to confront and defeat the forces of Satan. And all of his actions, all that he did, including the cross and the resurrection, all of it is focused on defeating the forces of Satan. Paul speaks of the powers and authorities. Why did Jesus do deliverance ministry? So that these people could live free lives and in turn be fruitful. It's really hard to be fruitful if you're bound by Satan. Right? It's really hard to do the mission of God if you're significantly affected by evil spirits. In our current ministry, we have seen incredible life transformation through deliverance. We've seen people begin to thrive in ministry as a result. I'm not going to speak much more about that. The rest of my sermon is our foundation for doing the ministry we're doing. I can't do anything without Jesus. There's no way I can free people unless I remain connected to Jesus and the vine. That's it. So how much do you long to do the works of Jesus, the mission of God? How much do you long for your life to count? To see people discipled and become fully devoted followers of Jesus? To see people healed from illness, released from demonic oppression? All of that long list of things I read. To see this church grow more and more into the likeness of Jesus. The only way that can happen is if you remain connected to Jesus. If you're filled with the Spirit, and through Jesus and the Spirit, you connect with the Father. It's the only way. Because apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. Let's pray. Lord God, we looked at our open hands before and we didn't see much. In fact, we saw nothing. Lord, we have often great confidence in our abilities, our strategies, our leadership principles. And a lot of them, they're good. You've given us abilities and gifts. You've given us wisdom. Fantastic. But it's all worthless without you. All of those things have zero value unless you're part of them, unless you're part of us. Lord, there's so many distractions in this world. We heard about that a bit before. We've all been distracted last week. And we mostly get distracted from you. Oh God, I pray that we as individuals and that this church will remain deeply, deeply, deeply connected to the vine, to you, where all our ability, all our power comes from. Lord, we can't do anything without you. I help that to sink in. I pray then that as we completely rely on you, that your Spirit would fill us and walk through us and pour out in us and empower us. Oh God, I just think of what this church, what all churches, my own church, what it would be like if we were fully in tune with you. And I pray that would happen. Amen.
Daryl, we have a saying in Spanish that comes to mind. No messages. The saying that comes to mind is, más claro no canta el gallo. Some of you need translation. What it means is that even the rooster can't sing more clearly.
Thank you.
I think you've sung clearly.
So I'm going to invite us, as we invite the praise band to come up, maybe keep singing, sure, but take a moment to commit to God, ask the Holy Spirit to continue to work in your heart, in our midst. We want that. Yeah. So praise band, why don't you come up? Thank you.